Welcome to Turning Point Leadership Podcast with your host, Ron Harvey of Global Core Strategies and Consulting. Ron's delighted you joined us and excited to discuss and help you navigate your journey towards becoming an effective leader. During this podcast, Ron will share his core belief that effective leadership is one of the key drivers towards change. So together, let's grow as leaders. Here's Ron Harvey.
Good afternoon. This is Ron Harvey. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Global Core Strategies and Consulting, and I'm super excited about the Turning Point Leadership Podcast, where we're talking about going from success to significance. And I'm always excited to be able to add value to those that are listening. And so you're going to be really pleased with the guests that I have lined up for us and the information that they're going to share. And I'm super excited because it's a great friend, but also someone I truly admire for the work that they're doing in our city, especially around small business, that's advocating for what we need at the level that he's at. And so I have with us today a good friend of mine, Carl Blackstone, who is the CEO of the Greater Columbia Chamber. And I'm excited to have him today. So Carl, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Ron. Appreciate you including me and glad to be here with you.
Yes, yes. So thanks for being here. I want to talk about, you know, the journey that you and I both have taken at one point in our careers and helping people understand, regardless of where they're on the journey, that people are watching you as a leader. So whether you're a new leader or whether you're a seasoned leader such as us, people are watching you along the entire journey. And so I want to be able to have a really great conversation to add value to the new leader and the seasoned leader or the person that finds themselves in between. And so on Turning Point Leadership, what we figured out and we've noticed on there, Carl, is that companies are looking for three things from leaders consistently today. And that changes based on what generation or where you fall at into this leadership journey. And one of the things is that leaders have to be able to navigate change. And it changes. And sometimes the stuff we love is changed. They also want to be able to have a leader that can gain the trust of people. And so that's huge because of where we are. People are, trust is very low right now across the board. And then they also want to have a leader that can motivate other people to do their best work, because no leader does it by themselves. And so across the globe, companies are looking for people that can do those three things. Where I really want to start with you and your journey, and I'll start with the question as you think about like where we are and you being the CEO of the Greater Columbia Chamber. When you look at your style of leadership, how would you explain how you lead such a phenomenal organization? What's your style of leadership to continue to help you be successful at the Columbia Chamber?
Well, thanks. Those are some good points. I mean, leadership, I think it's about relating to people that not only that you work with, but people you surround yourself with. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I get it wrong a lot as well. But what I try to do is find people that are smarter than me to work with, and then I trust them. So for me, it's about, I've gotten this wrong over the years. In fact, it's actually talking about change. My style has changed dramatically. I went from being passive but then recognizing that I didn't always have leaders that were, or people in my organization that were where they needed to be, in my opinion. And so I've had to go back and do some handholding. Now I just try to look for people that will fit into an organization, whether that culturally, whether that's whatever, but I want them to be able to feel like this is a home. I've got the best organization, the best group that I've had in 8 years right now. And a lot of that's because, one, I recognize their ability. I trust them to do what they were hired to do. And I don't take it for granted, because they can go anywhere right now. And so it's always thinking about how important they are, reminding them how important they are to the organization. And lastly, this isn't rocket science at the chamber. If we get it wrong, we get it wrong. Yeah. Admit it, we get it wrong. Let's learn from it, move on. There's nothing to hold grudges about. It's not really not to get mad about. It's like, I learn better from making mistakes. I hope others do as well. Let's just don't make them too often.
Yes.
But let's learn from them and move on.
Yeah, I mean, so Carl, you're exactly right. As we think about where we are, and you think about like you've learned from that, like you own up to the fact that, you know, I've made mistakes. You know, when you start off as a young leader, that can be very challenging, because if you make mistakes and you own up to them, all of a sudden you come across as incompetent. And how do you create, what have you done at the chamber to create a space for people to know it's safe to make mistakes and they can recover from it?
Well, I'll tell you, my biggest fear, and when I got to the chamber, I felt like, and this is not speaking derogatory of anybody who was here before me, but I just felt there was a level of complacency in all aspects of the chamber. And it's actually been over my shoulder all the time. Like, I'm fearful of that. I'm fearful of complacency. And so if that is what I'm afraid of or want to avoid, then I want to push people to avoid that, but also take risk and try new things and make sure that we're not getting stale. Because I think that is like a cancer. And if it gets involved, if it's embeds in an organization, it just creates so many problems. We are a membership organization. We have to constantly look at our partners and ask, what is the value that proposition that we offer them? And that's never the same. We go through swings in the economy, go through a pandemic. What people need today is going to be different than what they need 2 months from now. And we have to be aware of that. So it's pushing people and pushing our team to say, let's ask questions. Let's ask a lot of questions. Where is the value? How can we make sure we're meeting those expectations? And let's try things new. If we get it wrong, we get it wrong. I don't think I've ever said to anybody, you can't do this. Let's ask questions. We may not, but let's try things new. Let's push the envelope when we can. If we get it wrong, let's call and apologize for it and not do it again. But I think what we tried 6 years ago, it may not have worked, but it could work again today or tomorrow because times change. So I think challenging them to try new things, but also the key is you want to hold them accountable, but at the same time, you want to give them the leeway to try new things and take risks. Again, we're not doing surgeries here.
Yes. Yeah. And I have to say, you know, Carl, that as I've been around a while with you at the chamber and spent many years, and I can go back to an opportunity where it was not done right for me, you know, with the chamber. And you and I had that conversation you owned it and you said, hey, we'll apologize. What can we do to fix it? And now you see me where I'm more engaged and more involved. I think if you hadn't owned it, that you probably would have lost me as a member for the organization. And so understanding that you will get it wrong sometimes, but the ownership for all the leaders that are listening, it's super important because it builds up integrity. It builds up trust. It lets you know that you're human and you're going to make mistakes. Even in the process of trying to get it right, you still make mistakes. And so just own that and have those conversations. So I'm glad that you're letting people know that you will get it wrong. It's how you respond to it when you get it wrong that makes a difference, whether you're becoming an effective leader or do you find yourself where you're in a leadership role, but no one's following you.
So, and a lot of times it's perspective. And so we see things one way, but there's another side that what other people see. And it's often that we get into our bubble and we think we're very prescriptive on certain things and we just miss it. Yeah. And so that's why we go back to, we got to continue to talk to people, find out what they need, why they need it, because we can learn from others. Others know far more about what they need than we do. And so, but I do believe in making mistakes is healthy.
Yes, yes.
And you learn far greater from making mistakes than you do from getting it right.
Absolutely. So when you think of your style, Carl, what do you attribute to the style that you have? Where did you get, you know, was it from your family? Was it from your career? Or also know that, you know, you have 5 daughters, you know, at the house. Yeah, 5 women at the house. So 5 women at the house, not 5 daughters, but 5 ladies at the house. So I know that shaped your leadership style. You know, so what shaped your style of leadership?
Well, at my root, I'm somewhat of a perfectionist.
Okay.
So that goes contrary to some things that we have to just learn to live with, like having staff do things the way differently than what you would do. It drives me nuts sometimes. But at the end of the day, the product is good and it's better than what I anticipated, but it wasn't the way I wanted it to get done. I think that actually having kids probably helped more with that than anything else, you know, because there's more than one way to skin a cat. So I think certainly having a house full of ladies that their own opinions has challenged me there. You know, I've had some good bosses. I've had some great bosses. And I think I've learned from some good ones from my past of, all right, what do people need to not only to be successful, but feel like they're part of the team and that they have ownership. Because at the end of the day, as a we're representatives of 1,200 companies in Colombia. What we do as a team is a reflection on them. And so I want people to have ownership and feel like they can make decisions for the organization. And so, again, I've had bosses in the past that gave me that latitude. And I think that that's helped me grow as a person, but also to think a little bit differently than it, seeing the big picture allows people to make decisions that are not just in front of you, but also how they impact down the line. And so I want people to see the big picture. I want to see how everything comes together. I want to feel included. So again, I think I take it a little bit, my family, you know, my dad was very big believer in doing the right thing all the time. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I said, you know, doing the right thing is always the right thing.
Yes, yes. I tell people that all the time too, Carl, that right is right if nobody's doing it.
Right.
And wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it. And right will take you a lot further than wrong. So you want to be really mindful of how you do that, and you don't know who's watching. It's to do the right thing if you're going to, you know, because your audio needs to match your video.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, so
100%.
People are going to watch what we do today. Social media is big because people love watching video. And so people watch what we say a lot more than they listen to what we say. And I think that's important for every leader to, if you're in a role, make sure that you're modeling what you expect from people. Like, give them a visual, and leadership is visual. People are actually watching. They're watching how you vote. They're watching how you speak. They're watching how you deal with adversity. They're watching how you blend with other people and how well you play in a sandbox. People are watching all those things. And so just be mindful as a leader that your actions matter a lot.
I think equally as important, you're doing the right thing all the time is important, but consistency in what you do, your actions, as long as you're consistent with everything that you do,
yes,
that pays off. And people will forgive you for mistakes if you're trying to be consistent.
Yes.
And they may not agree with your decision, but they'll respect you for being consistent. And I learned that a long time ago as well, that goes a long, long way. Look, forget the issue, politics at hand or whatever, but consistency will take you a lot further.
Absolutely. Yeah. It takes the guesswork out. As you look at like where you are now and in what you're doing in the city, people will give you the title of being pretty effective as a leader. What is it that helped you get to the place of being an effective leader? Because we've all been in leadership roles, and the first time, most of us are not effective the first time, the first time in the rodeo. We have to get there. So what are some things that help you become more effective as a leader?
Well, when I took this job, I'd had experience in the federal level and I worked the state level. I was really intrigued with getting involved at the local level because I felt like there was more opportunity to impact change on a local level than you ever would have working for a member of Congress or working in the governor's office. Whatever I've done, I felt like I was part of a larger platform locally. You can truly have direct impact. And so over that time, I probably came in with britches too big, but I recognize at the end of the day, decisions are based upon trust, reliability, consistency. And so having those relationships and relationships, whether it's your wife, your kids, or professional relationships, they're all work.
Yes.
You can't take anything for granted, and you've got to spend time developing those relationships, especially in a state like South Carolina. I've heard since, so, I mean, this is place is so small, and Columbia is nothing but a very large, small town.
Yes.
And so what you say to one person, somebody's going to hear about somewhere else. That's where the consistency part comes in. But I do think that meet people where they are. We talked about that, understanding where they come from. I don't have a litmus test for any issue. I enjoy working with people that are willing to dig their feet in the dirt, roll up their sleeves and really try to understand the issue. And I have grown as a leader once I put political notions aside and say, hey, look, let us just sit and talk. Because sitting down over a cup of coffee and understanding the backgrounds, diverse background that we have in Colombia and recognizing that we all want the same thing.
Yes.
We all want a better Columbia. Nobody I've ever met says, I want Columbia cruddier than it was 3 years ago. No, yes. People want a better Columbia. We just have different paths to get to that same place. And we've got to figure out how we can compromise and how we can have better dialogue and get to that end goal.
Yeah, I think you said a lot of great points, Carl. You know, so as the people that are listening to us, it's like move your political agendas aside. And relationships take work. It's almost like, I tell people, Carl, it's like your credit score. Most of us work hard at our credit score, but we don't work just as hard at our relationship score. And if you don't have a strong enough relationship, it's going to cost you a lot more than you want to pay because you don't have the relationship. You know, so, you know, when I wanted to invite you to the podcast, the relationship allowed me to have access to for you to say yes a lot easier. And that's in everything that you do. So if you're having a hard time getting stuff done through people, check your relationship score. It absolutely matters. And the stronger that relationship is, the quicker they'll forgive you, the more opportunities they'll give you, and the easier it is to get things done. So that phone call goes through a lot faster. So I'm glad that you spoke of the relationship. I totally agree with you on there. So think back about the when you first started in your leadership role and where you are today. Is there anything that you wish you had known as a leader that someone, you know, didn't share early enough? What do you wish someone would have told you when you were a new leader?
Well, I think when I took this job, I inherited this job from a legend. Somebody had been in the job almost 20 years, and there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of pressure on me for a little bit, but at the same time, I came in with a blank slate. I had no political capital really to speak of. I didn't have the relationships, and it was going so fast. What I realized, I was too quick to judge on some things and literally thought I knew a little bit more than I did. In reality, again, it goes back to those relationships. If I had to do it over again, I would have spent probably, instead of 1 month going around and meet with people, I would have probably spent 3 or 4 months going around just talking. Yes. It's listening. That's why God gives you 2 ears and 1 mouth, right? And I probably talk too much. And literally understanding where different points of view were coming from and recognizing that Columbia is different in a lot of ways. It's different than any other community I've ever lived in, but so is every other community different from where everybody else, right? And so there is not a cookie cutter approach. We've got good people that are trying to figure out complex issues. And a lot of times it takes time to figure out a solution. I call it marinating, whatever you call it, but sometimes you got to marinate things. That's not being passive, which I probably thought would have 7 or 8 years ago, thought would be passive. We weren't moving fast enough.
Yes.
But in reality, to get people to the table, they've got to feel comfortable. Sometimes that just takes time.
Yeah. I think you're onto something here. So leaders, it's important to be patient and don't consider it to be passive. And sometimes the pressure makes you feel like you got to move it faster. So, you know, as Carl was saying, when he first came in, he was falling behind a legend, someone that had a legacy, had been there. And also there's a lot of pressure on him to perform and get it done. But it still doesn't put us in a great decision mode to think you know it all or you have it all or what you're missing. Pause and listen, like learn as much as you can so you can make a connection with people. So as you're listening to this conversation, we hope you are walking away with, it's okay to be patient and learn as much as you can. And that's important because you're coming into a new space. The other question I have for you is, it's changed drastically. The landscape has really changed what leaders need to bring to the table. What do you think today's leaders, what are some characteristics you think that the leaders today need to have that you and I probably didn't have to have coming to the table?
Well, I came from the world of politics, which has changed dramatically.
Yes.
Nationally and as well as locally. I think what I would tell people today is what we need is we need to pack a lot of patience. We need to pack a lot of understanding and recognize that compromise is far more effective, both in the short term and the long term, because organizations change, governments change, laws change, ordinances change. And most of the changes, the best changes are done incremental, yes. Meaning you don't see the pendulum shifts that we've seen on a national level. If you want change to take root and actually be effective, compromising and going little by little can really be far more effective. And so sit down. I'm not a big fan of emails or, you know, even though that's the norm now, don't forget about a telephone, yes, cup of coffee, sit down, listen, and actually maybe come in with a little bit of a trust. You know, don't discount people that you don't know. Let them have their say and see where you can find some common ground.
Carl, thank you for sharing that information. It's the common ground piece of it. You know, and for leaders today, I will tell you, pay attention to who's in front of you and do the little things. Like the phone call really does matter. The handwritten note makes a big difference. Recognizing birthdays, recognizing the loss of a loved one or someone's kid is sick. Like, make yourself a human being. And what would you want at those times when you may be having a hard time in life? Right. And so leaders, pay attention to that, because I think we've gotten away from that. You know, I can tell you, Carl, that your team did a phenomenal job, you know, in the transition of my mom.
Yeah.
You know, I think from 2019 to now, I lost, you know, both of my parents transitioned. And your team was very, very responsible and responsive to that situation of me going through it. To like, hey, what do you need? How do we reach out to you? Sending cards. Hey, we're sorry for your loss. Those things will build up a score that, unless you do something really, really horrible, it won't destroy the relationship. But if you don't do those things, it can cost you the relationship. So do the small things to let people know you see them when they're hurting or when they're struggling, and you're there for them if they need you. That made a big difference for me.
We're just one big community, right? We got to all support each other, but we also recognize I spend more time in my office than I do at my home.
Yes.
I have a work family and I have a home family, but it's important to treat others like you would want to be treated. Board members are the same way. They're giving their time to work with us, volunteer. It is one big family. I don't think we should ever pass the opportunity to be kind and show gratitude, but also to show humility.
Awesome. So the last question I have for us, Carl, as we begin to close out for us, is you and I both were brought up, and most leaders are, to go after promotions, to go after titles, to go after your dream, to get the degree, and all those things that we all, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it gives you momentum. But there comes a time where there's a turning point, and it's no longer about what you can do for your own personal benefit or gain. What do you share with people to be able to embrace that turning point that is about something bigger than you and I?
I've been trained on this one for years. I had an old boss that didn't believe in titles and didn't believe in big salaries. You know, I've had a bunch of opportunities in my life career-wise, and the worst decision I ever made was I made a job based on solely on money. And it was absolutely a disaster and everything. I mean, it was an epic failure. And it quickly dawned on me I was doing it for the wrong reason. So when you're looking for a job, if you're looking for status, you know, nothing speaks more loudly than a job well done. And so if you focus on the job at hand, do what you're supposed to do, the recognition's coming. And what's the old saying, a title and 50 cents? Well, now it's probably $1.50, but yes. That will give you a Coca-Cola, you know, title of $1.50 will give you a Coca-Cola. I've never been one about thinking that titles make an organization or make you a part of an organization. You as a human being, you as a participant, you as a team member, make you part of the team. Titles are just for an org chart, quite frankly. Yes. Everybody provides value. Everybody's a big piece of, if they're not, they're in the wrong place.
Yes.
So you've got to find people that, again, it's all about the mission. From your military background, it's about mission and how you, each person is responsible for a different piece of that mission, but collectively, it's just one mission. So I don't really subscribe to titles. You can take it or leave it. I know people like it, but at the end of the day, nobody's going to remember your title. They're going to remember what you did.
Yeah, 100%. And no need to follow that. A phenomenal conversation on there, Carl. So an opportunity here, you know, Carl, you've been phenomenal. A lot of great information. And I'm sure that the audience is going to enjoy it. But at this point, what is it that you want to do to share about the Columbia Chamber? I want you to have an opportunity to say, to promote the chamber and what you do. So I want to be able to close with that.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, we're proud of what we do. We've been around since 1902. It really is a way of representing business here in Columbia. That our job is to look out for the betterment of business. and this make Columbia a better place to do business. And we have some challenges, but we have great success here in Columbia. It's a phenomenal place to live, work, and play. And really, it's embracing those things that, and finding ways that we can attract talent. We attract companies to this place, but communities are always changing. And we've got to change with it. But at the same time, I think our goal for the next few years really is to be, how do we make Columbia the best Columbia we want to be? We don't want to be Greenville. We don't want to be Charleston. We want to be Columbia. And we have such a wonderful place to live. It's diverse. It's got an unbelievable population of folks that have smart, they're entrepreneurs, but they like where they live. And we just need to make sure that Columbia is in a better place tomorrow than it is today, and that we are making sure that business can thrive. And at the end of the day, if business is able to do well, then that means there's jobs for your kids, my kids. That means better quality of life, which I hope is important to everybody.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Carl, thank you. Appreciate it. And I've been a member of the chairman for many years, serving on the executive committee. And I will tell you that it's a great place. It's a great organization. But I also tell you, you get out of it what you put into it. You kind of got to show up and you got to be active and engaged in it. So it's not a sign up like, it's like a gym. You know, it only works if you go to the gym. And so participate in it and be involved in the community that you care about. Again, Carl Blackstone, CEO, president of the Greater Columbia Chamber. Thank you for taking the time to share with our audience. And I look forward to another conversation at a later date. To everyone that's listening, again, this is Ron Harvey, Chief Operating Officer, Vice President of Global Core Strategies and Consulting, coming to you with Turning Point Leadership, going from success to significance. Thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to seeing you on our next show with Turning Point Leadership.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Turning Point Leadership with your host, Ron Harvey. We're so glad you joined us. Remember to join us every first and third Mondays and expect to receive real answers for real leadership challenges. Until next time, make a difference where you are and with what you have. There are those who are counting on you for effective leadership.